Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning, Tony. I'm great.
I wanted to get your take on a judge's ruling that the state broke labor laws when 15,000 people were denied raises. Now, yesterday, I spoke with a spokesperson from Governor Jennifer Granholm's office yesterday, and I was told that the governor would appeal this. I wanted to get your take on that.
Yeah, that's no surprise that they're going to have trouble affording it. And I expect that they'll appeal it as far as they can appeal it, and we plan on, you know, appealing it along with them. And I think that we'll, in the end, prevail.
Now, these raises were for mainly managers and people who were in supervisory capacities?
Right. The managers, supervisors, and confidential employees can't join unions. There's used to be 63,000 state employees. Now there's 53,000. Of the 53,000, about 15,000 can't join unions pursuant to the civil service rules.
All right, and how much was the raise, or is the raise?
The bargaining units received, the subordinates of these supervisors received a 3% raise. We had negotiated a similar raise, and we had an agreement on it, and then the administration just unilaterally abrogated that, reneged on it, went to the commission and said, we're not going to give them the 3% raise.
Now, I would imagine that you have a similar take that UAW 6000 has when it comes to raises and cuts in programming and staff that the state looks for organizations like yours when they're short of money to make cuts. Is that a fair assertion?
Oh, Tony, we have absorbed so many cuts. It sounds bad for a labor rep to say, for a union person to say. But the truth is that there's just no revenues coming into the state. There's no property taxes. There's no income taxes. So they have to continue cutting. And we've gotten to a point here where we can't cut anymore. We used to have 63,000 state employees. Now we have 53,000. People think that there's been this mass exodus out of Michigan and we have less citizens and therefore less demand. The exact opposite is true. We've had 10 million citizens. We continue to have 10 million citizens. And the demand for the work of state workers, Tony, is astronomical. If you look at the Department of Human Services, 750,000 families are getting food assistance. That equates to 2 million people. There's only 10 million people in the state. So our DHS employees are working their butts off. The managers are charged with convincing them to work harder, and then they take away the raises from the managers. This group of people who have worked harder to get promoted and who are charged with pumping up and staying positive and keeping the rank and file working during these trying times, and you take the raises away from them and you give it to their subordinates? I mean, somebody should have thought about the morale problem that this engendered in the supervisors.
Well, let me play devil's advocate here. The people who say, I'm not even sure why we need unions anymore. Those state employees have the best health benefits and they make a good living and they've got a secure job. How would you respond to that?
I think historically that's been true. And an argument can be made that they do have great benefits, but if people look now at the benefits of state employees and they accurately compare, for example, the health benefits of state employees to people in the private sector, that is no longer the case. I mean, we have really taken a lot of cuts in the last 10 years. Angler administration, tons of cuts. Granholm comes into a $2 billion budget deficit because Angler cut taxes like crazy, a bunch more cuts. I mean, the state employees are working harder than they have ever worked, Tony. I've done this for 25 years, and I tell you, it's brutal. In our state hospitals, the nurses, you know, there's a shortage of nurses in the entire country, but very few nurses want to work in these mental hospitals, in these prisons. So they're woefully understaffed, for starters, and then they get mandated to work overtime incessantly. So they come in, these single mothers, at 6 in the morning. They work till 2:30 in the afternoon. They're ready to go home to get their kids off the bus, and at 2 o'clock, they're told you have to work another 8 hours. because Karen called in and we're understaffed. That happens time and time again.
Well, let's talk about this judge's decision. In looking through the decision, man, there were some scathing comments made in that report, weren't there?
Yeah, it didn't surprise me that we won. We knew that we would win. I didn't know if the hearing officer would excoriate them as bad as he, or I should say as well as he did. I mean, when you get right down to it, I've been in this game for 25 years, and the most important thing in labor relations is your word and your integrity. And, you know, to negotiate an agreement, a three-year agreement, where in the first year you only get 1% or 0% raise, and in the second year you only get a 1% raise, and then it's back-end loaded, so the third year you get a 3% raise. Remember, this was a three-year agreement. And to have in those first 2 years agree to insurance concessions, in other words, give-backs that the unions gave back and that we gave back, and then to, in the third year, picture this, Tony, after you've taken the screwing, in the third year when you're supposed to get your 3%, to just come out of the blue and say, now we decide not to give you your 3%, while they give it to the subordinates of these supervisors is reprehensible. And the hearing officer saw that and said, well, you read it. He excoriated them.
All right, John, I'm short of time. I'm going to get you back on the program next week. Thanks a lot so much.
Yeah, take care.